This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk with the director of the Virginia Film Festival, Jody Kilbasa, and we'll ask him, what are your favorite movies of all time? Suzanne Kogut joins me live in studio. She's the executive director of the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA. Do you have a favorite movie of all time?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I'm
like
sitting here thinking about it.
Like if you could sit tonight and watch any movie of your choice with buttered popcorn and candy.
Wow.
And the drink of your choice, be it Coke or something a little stiffer.
Look, I'm from the SPCA, so I'm supposed to say something like, you know, Beethoven, Homeward
Hotel
Bound
for Cats and Dogs. Hotel for Dogs. Did you see that movie?
You know what? I really liked Hotel for Dogs.
It's a cute movie.
It's
isn't
very
it?
Cute.
Yeah, it is a cute movie.
Can I admit that I cried at Beverly Hills Chihuahua? Right, I cried. Yeah, I'm such a baby. Show me a stray dog, and tears come go, and they just keep coming.
Suzanne, remind us the Suzanne Kogut 101, like where you're from and how you ended up in Charlottesville.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I'm going to do that pretty quick.
Yeah.
I was a corporate securities lawyer in D.C. before I came to Charlottesville. So I was a deal lawyer, finance, transactions, decided I would throw all that away. I actually, before I made any change, I took a year, took my two dogs, bought a trailer, and hit the road and traveled around the U.S. for a little bit.
Favorite place you visited?
Actually, Nova Scotia.
No kidding.
I really love Nova Scotia.
Why? Just the natural landscapes?
The natural landscape, very peaceful, lots to do outside. It was just great.
So you were there in the summer, I would take it.
I was there in the summer, yes. The Nova Scotia, Newfoundland up there, I mean, just beautiful.
Really?
You know, sort of untouched country.
What are the people like? Are they standoffish or real friendly?
They're incredible. I mean, you know, everyone's going to invite you in. They're wonderful.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
So then you had a total life change.
Right. I just did a lot of reading and visited a lot of places, and I decided I wanted to go to the nonprofit world. And it was either going to be working with homeless people, which I had done for years volunteering in D.C., or animals. And I chose to do the animal route.
Were you always the animal lover in the family, even as a kid? I mean, taking in strays and that kind of thing?
You know, I wasn't, actually. It wasn't until later in my life when I got my first dog, which I have to say was a pit bull that was bought for my boyfriend who moved out and the dog stayed. But that's a long story, too. But actually, I mean, you know, that dog was what got me through those first years as a young lawyer, all that stress. And it was really shortly after that.
Wow. So I was up at the SPCA this past weekend. I was telling folks earlier, there was a cat there. What's so interesting, when you got here, is that when they started naming the animals, giving them like SPCA names? So it wasn't just like cat, dog, mix, you know?
I hope they were naming them before I got here. But I mean, we definitely do, you know, spend some time trying to name them and giving them good names.
Yeah. And they're fantastic names. And we got a cat this past weekend named June. And we talked on the way home, and my daughter and my son, and we were thinking, you know, do you want to rename it? And Skylar finally said, you know, the name is perfect. June it is.
So you did keep the
name. We kept it, yeah.
And now I thought your daughter was talking about maybe changing the name at one point,
too. She was, but we got home, and she just liked it. So we called her Junie.
That's good.
Yeah.
And she was a cute cat, too.
It is a cute cat.
Yeah.
And we went with a cat that's sort of full-grown, almost full-grown, instead of a kitten, but there's plenty of both. I just find it hard to get a kitten when there's so many full-grown cats right in the cage next to them.
And we do. I mean, the summer is what we call kitten season. And amazingly enough, we have about 400 cats and kittens coming in the summer. But really, there's about 12 to 1,500 kittens that come in through the summer months and actually in through September and October.
We're talking with Suzanne Kogut of the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA online at caspca.org. What was going on this weekend? Because the place was jammed. And there was a whole lot of action going on down a couple of hallways.
Right. Well, we also, you know, we had our normal adoptions that were going on, but we also had a feral cat clinic. And this is where we actually partner with a local feral cat group called Voices for Animals. And there's about 40, 45 different volunteers from Voices and from the SPCA that participate. And actually a number of volunteer veterinarians from some of the local clinics like Old Dominion Animal Hospital and Charlottesville Veterinarian Center in Georgetown. And the vets come in and basically people trap feral cats and bring them in so that they can be spayed and neutered and vaccinated.
And these aren't animals that would then be pets. They're put back out into the wild, right?
Yeah, and I think that's always, it's a hard thing for people to understand the difference between a domesticated cat and a feral cat. But there are cats that have grown up in the wild, and they are wild animals, just like, you know, your squirrel, your rabbit, or that's how they live. And, you know, you're not going to be able to bring those cats and make them house cats or put them up for adoption at the SPCA.
Yeah, yeah. And there's sort of a spectrum, right? You have your domesticated cat that wants to, like this new cat we got that wants to sit on the edge of the sink while I'm shaving and stare at me. And then you have sort of the barn cat, which is sort of semi-socialized, right? And
right.
then you have the feral cat.
Correct, correct. And you know, the barn cat can be a domesticated cat that somehow was an indoor-outdoor cat, but then maybe never got back indoors.
Yeah.
And just came to live outside. But, you know, it was actually a record clinic for us. We spayed and neutered 124 cats.
Wow.
In one day.
Holy cow.
Pretty impressive.
Just an all-volunteer effort by folks coming in to trap them and take
care
of them.
That's right. All-volunteer effort. And that just means that many, you know, less that are out there having kittens. And that's really going to reduce the number of kittens that we take in future years, the more we do this.
Yeah, yeah. What the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA, and we're talking with Suzanne Kogut, that is a no-kill facility. Tell us the history of that. What's the backstory of that? And exactly what does that mean? Because this is a big deal.
It's actually a huge deal. There's probably only one or other community that's like Charlottesville and Albemarle with the save rate that we have, which is 90% of the animals that come to us. And so when we say no kill, I mean, if we have an animal that has a serious medical illness or a serious aggression, we're still going to go ahead and humanely euthanize that animal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I started in 2005. And the euthanasia rate for cats, and we're talking, there's a lot of friendly cats in there. They were actually, it was over 50%. So basically, we were killing more cats than we were saving. And
Gosh.
Right now, we save 90% of the animals. And there's only one other community probably in the entire country that we are aware of that can actually have that has that same save rate. So, you know, if you look at Virginia, just statewide, still euthanizing about, you know, 40% of the animals
that come into an SPCA.
Yeah, or a pound, you know, just, you know, their entire community.
What's the difference between a pound and an SPCA?
Oh, wow.
Because we shouldn't call what you do a pound, right?
Well, actually, it's a good question. We actually do provide the pound services. So every locality, by law, has to have a pound where stray animals can go. You lose, you know, your cat or your dog goes stray. It has to go somewhere. So hopefully it gives you a chance to reclaim it. And if not, it goes up for adoption. A lot of places will have separately an SPCA that's a private nonprofit that really does a lot of the adoptions and will take from the pound and then adopt those animals out to sort of help them.
Oh, okay.
And maybe do spay neuter and things like that. We actually do all of those functions.
You do both. Okay.
So we contract with the city and the county. We operate as the pound. And then, of course, we do adoptions, and we're there if people are redeeming their animals. And separately from that, we do, in 2008, we did about 6,000 spay-neuter surgeries, which includes sort of feral cats. We do we spay and neuter animals for the public if they can't afford to. We have a subsidized spay-neuter program, and then spaying and neutering the animals that are adopted out.
The no-kill facility thing, unless an animal comes in and is really wild or really sick or dangerous, you're going to find a home for that.
We're going to find a home for
critter.
It.
Yeah.
We're going to, and you know, and I always like to refer to it more as a no-kill community, because often some communities have a no-kill facility and then a pound that's euthanizing a lot. And until that community itself is saving the animals, there's really no significance to that. For us, we're a no-kill community, and that's pretty incredible.
And that leads me to my next question. You were telling me this weekend that a lot of the animals that you have under your umbrella actually don't live at the SPCA. They're foster animals. Tell us about that whole program, because I was shocked to learn how many there are.
Well, and it's actually, I think, probably the single most significant program that allowed us to go no-kill in such a short period of time. We take in about 5,000 animals every year. You know, it's about 160, 180 dogs a month, 400 cats and kittens a month in the summer. We clearly don't have space for those. And about 1,500 to 1,600 of our animals will go into foster care, meaning that the public is out there and they're taking those animals in their home and they're caring for them until we can get them adopted, which is phenomenal. It basically expands your space and your shelter throughout your entire community.
That is amazing. And how many are out there in foster homes?
Well, I mean, for the year, we'll send about 1,500 to 1,600. We can have anywhere from 100 at one time to, in the summer months, maybe 300-400 animals out in foster homes.
And these are dogs and cats.
Dogs, cats, kittens, puppies, a little bit of everything.
That are living in somebody's home, mm-hmm. but they're not adopting them. They're just sort of taking care of them and watching them.
Yeah. You know how people always say, you know, oh gosh, I wish the puppies, I could have a puppy that would stay small forever. Well, you could become a foster home for the SPCA and just foster puppies. And when they get big, give them back and we'll go find them a home and you can get another puppy, right? Same with the kitten. We have what we call kitten addicts, right? They get a litter of young kittens. And then when they get to about 8 weeks of age, they come back to the SPCA. We spay, neuter them, put them up for adoption, and they take another litter of kittens.
Wow.
It's a wonderful program. And, yeah. and you know, honestly, the animals get... You know, we take great care of the animals at the SPCA, but I mean, imagine they would much rather be in a home. And so they get yeah. such, they get taken care of so well in the home. And then they're socialized, whether it's with kids, other animals, adults. They
I was going to say, it makes them more adoptable.
It really does. It's a wonderful program. And we're actually doing a Foster for the Holidays program, too. And we're having a lot of people just come in. And a lot of people are home during the holidays, have more time. And we've got a lot of our animals going out and just being fostered over the holiday season.
We're talking with Suzanne Kogut. She is the executive director of the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA online at caspca.org. What's your advice? Because when I was up there this weekend, the place was crawling with people. Mm-hmm. And you could see they were thinking kitten or dog, or, you know, a new family pet for the holidays. What's your advice? Do you see a lot of people coming in this time of year looking for whether it's something to put under the tree or just a new family member for the holiday season?
Yeah, you know, I guess the old thing people used to say, oh my goodness, you never want to adopt during the holidays. They're all going to get returned, and that's just too chaotic of a time to bring a pet home. And you know, I guess my thought is any pet that's at the SPCA, you know, there's the exceptional really scared dog or really scared cat, but any pet at the SPCA would much prefer to be in someone's home for the holidays than at the SPCA. So, we have been adopting out pets for the holidays for a long time. In actuality, we actually have a program where Santa Claus will deliver the pets to your home.
Get out.
Seriously?
Totally.
I actually was Santa's helper one year.
Great.
And I had so much fun. But to see, you know, we delivered two little kittens, and it was two kids in the home, a brother and a sister, and they both opened up their container with the kitten, and just the smile on their face. And I know that's an adoption that lasts forever.
Yeah. Oh, how can you forget that?
No, it was awesome.
That's great. So I'm curious right now, what's the biggest challenges you're facing? Is it like everybody else, finances and funding, or is it?
It is. Yeah. Unfortunately, this was an incredibly tough year. There's probably a lot of good things that came out of this year. You know, you really learn to hunker down and come up with some you know, new efficiencies. We do have a new contract with the city and the county that's going to provide additional funding. That actually will kick in around July 2010. So we'll have a half year of that additional funding. So 2010 is going to be a really tough year for us still. But, you know, I guess that's the name of the game right now, right?
Yeah. Which means more than ever, you're looking for foster families to come in and help give
foster
these...
Foster families, volunteers, supporters, everything.
I was going to ask you about volunteers, because every time I go up, because we usually go up like almost every weekend just to play with the cats, but there's always kids up there who are volunteering, who are playing with the cats, and I say kids, it could be college students or high school students.
Well, we have a great program with we have a lot of Madison House students from UVA come over, and just generally a lot of college students. Not only do they volunteer, they foster too. But, you know, and then we have people of all ages come and volunteer. I think the SPCA is a really fun place to be. And it used to be that people were always afraid to go. It was depressing and everything like that.
Yeah, well,
it's really not.
Most of us in town remember the old one, and remember the stark difference between that old facility and what you see now when you go up there. It is night and day.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice to know when you walk in, when you look at those animals there, they're getting homes. They're not going to be euthanized. They're up for adoption, and they're all going to find, you know, a wonderful home. So I think it just changes perspective right when you walk in the door.
Suzanne Kogut, she's the executive director of the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA, and that's online at caspca.org. What's the phone number in case folks want to get in touch with you?
973-5959.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and all that. And thank you for being here. You've really made a tremendous difference in this community, and we're lucky to have you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for you and your kids coming into the SPCA.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.